Hey, what's going on? How's everybody? Yes, I love it. Hey, I am back. Can you believe it? They asked me to come back and teach. I thought for the first time, they'd say, oh, he's weird and smells funny and his beard is really gross. Anyways, so I like the bearded, can we call myself the bearded wonder? Is that what he called me? The bearded wonder? But if I was just, we were joking in the back, me and Cody Emerson and Austin Trammell, we said, hey, if you were a superhero, we'd call yourself the bearded wonder. Like my beard would transform like the Green Lantern's ring does into different things. You don't know what the Green Lantern is? You obviously aren't comic book nerds like I am. It's cool though, whatever, losers. Anyways, so today, I thought it was really awesome how I got the topic of language, right? And here's why I thought it was, because I talk a little funnier than most people, right? All right, yeah, I don't know. But I mumble profusely, like I mumble all the time. And I get really excited and I talk really, really, really fast. I'm talking like Peyton Manning come the fourth quarter with Omaha, you know? I'm just like, nobody understands what I'm talking about. So I thought it was super funny and awesome how I'm talking about language and how language is just everywhere around us. We're always circled, or we're always around language. It's just always there. And so I love movies. You guys like movies? I love when the summertime comes because the summer blockbusters are coming out. Like X-Men's coming out Friday. If you're a nerd like me, you're super pumped. Did you guys know I actually did all the stunt deviling for Hugh Jackman and Wolverine? Yeah. I did. Did you guys not know that? That's why I had to grow the beard. I mean, I was expecting a lot of laughs right there. I got nothing. I got to work for less stuff. So I love movies. And oftentimes when I talk or I get around people, I tend to like quote movie quotes in my normal conversation. Like, you guys know I love The Sandlot. The Sandlot's the greatest movie of all time behind Space Jam. Space Jam 1, Sandlot 2. Because Michael Jordan... Anyways, but there's this a famous line in there that I always use, and I used it last night when I played softball with Jeff Cook. But it wasn't him, it was somebody else. It's always this one famous line. It's called what? You guys know what it is? You're killing me, Smalls! I love it. If you ever seen the movie, Smalls is you know, the dude's got the weird fish hat. It's like really Big Bill. He's like, you're killing me, Smalls. He's like, you forgot to turn. Great Bambino. No? All right. Maybe you guys would know some of these other ones. Anybody seen the Goonies? Any Goonie fans? Yes, I love the Goonies, right? My favorite character is Sloth. You guys know what that is? He goes, hey, you guys. You know what I'm talking about? So every now and then, I like say that. Whenever I see a baby Ruth in Kroger or H-E-B, I always go, baby Ruth, like he does. I just find myself catching. So I got another one. This is another one like, there's no place like home. We're not in Kansas anymore, Toto. And that's from? The Wizard of Oz. Another one is, you can't handle the truth. I know it's old school. You may not know that, but it's like, you tell me the truth. You can't handle the truth. No? Few Good Men. Yes. And Ryan's favorite one that he's so used many a time that I slowly kind of picked up on is one that is great. And it's, are you serious, Clark? He's like, are you serious, Clark? We got a chance to hang out a little bit like a couple weeks ago, and every other word out of his mouth was that phrase. Or if you're Napoleon Dynamite fans,
yes.
Your mom goes to college. That was real big when I was y'all's age. Like, your mom goes to college. Mom's like, no, mom's never been to college. It's cool. Anyways, or like Forrest Gump. I love Forrest Gump. Mom always said, you're, run, Forrest, run. Right? Or the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. What does he say? I'll be back. I can't do a good one. He's like, I'll be back. Right? Hasta la vista, something like that. Or my personal favorite, one of my personal favorites, there's no crying in baseball. There's no crying in baseball. Everybody knows it. Everybody knows it. Or for you Disney fans, whenever I get together with a few of my friends, I always say, let's get down to business to defeat the Huns. We all know these, right? Language is everywhere that we're around. Everywhere that we go, language is there. Everything that we say is words. It's language. And so a lot of times, language is just sometimes repetitive. Sometimes we don't know what we say. Sometimes we mumble and people don't understand what we say. But it's cool. We love it. So language is great. Now, we're going to look at three things that language does and how three things language does in our lives and how it translates. So the first thing is that culture can affect language. And what do you guys think I mean by culture affects language? Simply means this. My dad's a good dude. I love my dad. I do. He's older than me. This is where I get my stunning good looks, like a lot older than me. I don't know how old my dad is, but he's old. He's like 50, 60 or something. I don't know. I love him. But my dad, he would always try to be hip and cool, right? Like when all my friends would come over to the house, he'd be like, yeah, what's up, homie? Like my dad would say that. My dad's like 55, like gray, and like walks like this. He's like, hey, what's up, homie? And I was trying to like, Dad, quit, man. You're embarrassing me. But he would always try to pick up on like cool language. And so now that I'm a little older than you guys, I've slowly become my dad. Like, I no longer know what's cool anymore. Like, me and Austin Trammell, we were talking the other day, and he used this phrase like, oh, keep it on the cool. And I'm like, what's on the cool, man? You like, need like a Slurpee or something? He's AC. I don't know. Like, keep it on the cool. Or like, girls did something like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what that is. I'm like, do you need sunglasses? All the girls are doing it. Even guys are doing it. That's messed up. Like, I have no idea what that is. But because we realize this, is that there's a generational gap a lot of times. And certain words mean different things when it comes to generation to generation. Like, when I say, oh, man, that's sick. Like, oh, that's sick, bro. That's dope. Like, my mom's like, oh, what's sick? How can shoes be sick? I'm serious. My mom loved her to death, man, but she's like, it's tall. She doesn't understand. But there's a generational gap. Or even when you go to different places, mission trips, I'm super pumped for you, all right? Mission trips, I love them. It's great. Super excited to see what God does in your world. And obviously through the ministry that you're going to do, which is great. We go to Germany every year, and I've slowly kind of learned the German culture. It's different. It's different. And the words are really different. Like when you don't normally say bathroom, you say toilet. It's like you would talk like, oh, I have to go to the toilet. What do you mean to go to the toilet? I don't understand that. It's the bathroom, bro, right? So culture can affect language. My grandparents, they're from Michigan, and so when they say soda, they say pop. So my grandma would be like, hey, you want some pop? And I'm like, pop what? Popcorn? Sure, I love popcorn, right? Give it to me. But she's like, no, you want some pop? And I'm like, sure, whatever, grandma. Right? But language is ever-changing. Language is ever-changing. So the words you guys use right now as, you know, 6th through 12th graders, even adults, I guarantee you 5 years from now, it's going to be a whole other, like, realm of words that you're going to be like, I don't understand what that is. Just like me, you guys, I wish I could be as cool as you guys anyways. That's what it is. Right? But culture often dictates our words because we all have a need to what? We all have a need to fill it in. Right? Back in Florida, we talk a little different than out here with y'all Texas people. Right? You know, countryer. Is countryer a word? I don't know. You guys have y'all and you, and where I come from, we have just us and we and woven and weaving. But as I get to different places, I realize, hey, culture changes. Even just a few states over, you guys say different things. And a lot of times, with a culture change, it affects us. I mean, we slowly pick up on things. Like, if I try to be cool like you guys, I'm going to say, oh, man, that's on the cool. But if I use it out of the context, and it's like you guys look at me funny, like, hey, that's not what that means, I end up looking like a loser who doesn't know what he's talking about. So a lot of times, culture can affect our language. And so as you guys get older, even when you were younger, you guys didn't even know like certain words, and you get older, and you watch like spelling bees, and these are those really, really long words, I have no idea what it is. Or I try to like throw big words into sentences that make no sense, but I think they do, so I use them all the time. But culture a lot of times can affect our language. And like I said earlier, we have this need to fit in. We want to kind of pick up on what everybody else is, because we as people, we as human beings, have a desire to have a relationship with other people around us. Like when you guys go to high school or middle school or college or even in the work world, language is going to be there. And a lot of times to kind of like be a friend of a friend or kind of get friends, man, you got to semi-change your language. But God says not to, right? In the book of Romans, chapter 12, Paul writes and says, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, man, right? So that's the big thing. Is culture a lot of times can affect our language, but we can't let culture dictate what we say. Does that make sense? So culture often changes, but we can't let culture dictate what we say, which means this, we can't give in to what everybody else is doing. This is the second thing. Culture affects our language. We cleared the first one. So the second one is this. What we say affects other people, both good and bad, right? So we look at the bad part first. What we say affects other people is bad. So when I was a little kid, we always said, you know, sticks and stones might break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But when I was a little kid, I was like this big and this little, and I get made fun of all the time, right? And, you know, my mom would say, oh, sticks and stones will make your bones, but words will never hurt me. And I'm like, Mom, words always hurt. Words are hurtful. They sting. They can cut. Like, when I play sports, like, my coach used to tell me, hey, you're terrible. Like, you're not good at anything. Dude, that stinks. Because words pierce each other, and they can attack us. Right? I love VeggieTales. You guys ever seen watch VeggieTales? Is VeggieTales still cool?
Yes.
I don't know. I'm getting generational gap here, right? But there's one called the rumor weed. Remember the rumor weed? And it was all about substitute teacher comes, right? And the little junior asparagus, he says, I got to go recharge my batteries. He's like, oh, he must be a robot. So the story unfolds. He keeps telling everybody, and everybody else keeps going down the road. And then what happens? Everybody thinks this guy's a robot. But in actuality, he's just a person like me and you. But what happened there is this thing called gossip. And gossip gets inside of our lives, right? Gossip happens even when we know it doesn't, right? Like, you can be in a circle of people, and they can be talking about something. You jump in. You're like, hey, guys, man, what are you guys talking about? Right? And then you jump in, and then gossip is there, and it's ever so surrounding. And so Proverbs says this. It says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with simple blabber. Pretty much means this. Hey, just be careful with what you say. Don't get in the middle of everything else, and everything else goes wrong, and everything else, what everything else is going on. See, I told you I mumble all the time. Right? But the second one is this. In Proverbs 16 says this. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates close friends. Now, that's a very big one for me. A good friend of mine, me and him had a little, you know, argument a while back, and because he said something and I said something, he started something, I started something, and we realized, hey, you know, we broke that off. So realize this, is that language can be a bad thing, and oftentimes it is, right? So we talked about cursing, we talked about cursing in a second. Obviously, my words aren't coming to me right now, but it's cool. So let me jump into cursing part. I'm missing a page, that's why. Terrible. So we get this cursing part. Let me just come to you real quick as a human being. There is no reason for that. There's like a bajillion words inside of the English dictionary. Use a cooler word. Use like cheese or sandal or stick or Oreo. I don't know. Use something other than that, because just like we talked about earlier, is that we can't conform to what everybody else wants. That's why Paul writes to the church in Rome, says, hey, do not do this, because God has set you separate than anything else, right? So we talked about, you know, the language can hurt, it can sting with what we say. We talked about gossip, and that's terrible, nobody wants to do that. Then we get to this cursing part, and a lot of times, because everybody else does it, we do it. And a lot of us in here are guilty of that, right? Sometimes we do, even when we think about it, sometimes it just happens, right? But here's what we have to realize is this, is that that's not who God intended you to be. He doesn't intend for you to go out and say all these bad things and all these weird things, because how are we supposed to differentiate you against another person, right? You say, oh, you claim to be a believer, yet at the same time, you're just like this person right next to you. So here's what we can't do. Guys, we can't give into that. Speaking bad about other people, gossiping, cursing. There's plenty of other words. My favorite ever phrase that I slowly am trying to patent is this word, this phrase. Whenever something bad happens or scary happens, or I get frustrated with something, I say a simple phrase. And is my buddy Aiden Upchurch in here? Aiden, come here, buddy. Everybody know Aiden? I'm going to use this. Can I use this? I'm going to use this. So Aiden, we've known each other for a little bit, right? Yeah. You would say so? Yeah. Say what, a couple years?
A couple, yeah.
We've been places.
Germany.
Oh, whatever. We've been in a bunch of different places, right? So I've got one phrase that I pretty much say when anything goes wrong or something happens. And the reason why I say it is because somebody once told me to say this in place of this, right? And the first words are, oh my, and then I throw in this one word at the end. What word is that, Aiden?
Buddha.
Buddha. Right? Now, here's why I say, oh my Buddha, all the time. It's because this guy got up one time and said how he's sick and tired of people throwing out the Lord's name just in anything. And so he got up there just like I at the top of his lungs. When I was y'all, he screamed at the top of his lungs, oh my Buddha. And it's stuck in my brain ever since, and I use it all the time. Because I've replaced a bad word with a good word that I can use that I really don't care about, right? I don't care about Buddha. He's a little guy I put on your shelf. But we say that because this is sometimes we have to find a substitute from one word to another. So if you're struggling with the foul language thing or gossip or whatever, Throw in another word, oh my Buddha. I'm telling you, if you do that, it's going to catch on. And people say, hey, why do you say oh my Buddha all the time? You're weird. Nobody likes you. Then you say, hey, you know what? Here's the reason why. It's because this. I'm tired of this and this and this. So we talked about words can sometimes be bad, right? But words can be good, Aiden, right?
Yeah.
We're buds. I think so, we're buds. We've known each other for a long time. So what other phrases? Apparently, we only see each other three times. So what other phrases that I say that you've picked up on? Does that make sense?
That are good?
That are good. Like, what do you mean? Like, what are some phrases? Give me something. Like, what's something that I always say that you've picked up on?
Sometimes when you get excited about something,
yes,
you go like, yickety.
Yickety, okay.
You go, yickety.
You have no idea what that is, right? Nobody knows. Go ahead. All right. I'll give you another one.
You'll go yickety, and then sometimes you'll go smash.
I say that all the time.
And then a third one could be you yell, let's go.
I yell, let's go. When I get excited, it's like, let's go, right? But we realize, so would you say that's good or bad language?
I'd say that's good.
That's good. Why is it good?
Because it's positive
it's
words.
It's positive, right? It's not something you would hear normally, right? And here's the reason why I'm getting at this. Here's the reason why Aiden says this. Because 9 times out of 10, we're around each other, and whatever I say, he picks up on.
Yes.
Right? Now, Cody Emerson, come here. Come here, Cody. Now, I haven't known Cody as long as I've known Aiden, right? I've only known Aiden for 5, I mean, I've been here 5 years. I've known Aiden for 5 years. I've known Cody, pretty good Cody, for a couple months.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we got to share an experience when we were at Passion,
yes.
Right? And we got to know each other pretty well, and only a short time, right?
1 week.
So during that weekend, what are some things that you picked up on? What were some things you picked up on?
Probably, okay, I've been saying this for like the whole semester, like next level. Have you heard him say next level?
All right, now, how would you use that? When I say, oh, man, you took that next level, what does that mean?
Like, I would say my peach fuzz is, like, pro status, and he'd be like,
my beard's next level. Like, I'm one up you, right? Like my beard's next level. Like, you got to take it up a notch, baby. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Right? So we do all these things. Let me guys ask you this. You didn't know I was going to ask you these questions, but I'm going to do it. So how has language affected both of you? You know, Cody, you're in college. Aiden, you're a senior, about to go to DBU and do your thing. You guys both have played sports. So how has language in your specific areas of life affected you, both good and bad?
Well, bad, I would have to say some people look at me weird when I say it.
Okay.
Just because they don't know what it means.
Okay.
But then good, it also like provides you a different way and different avenue to like express your feelings and stuff in a way that is not necessarily negative, but it's positive because it makes people laugh. And then that kind of takes the tension away from the situation.
Would you agree with that or disagree?
I would agree.
Awesome. Let me ask you this question. How has other people's language affected you? Not necessarily me, but other people around you, both good and bad. How has other people's language affected you? Well, you're in college. You're at UMHB, right? Go Fighting
Crusaders.
Crusaders. Lucky guess. So how in college, how has language around you kind of helped shape you or not shaped you the way you want to be? Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just like the people you hang around, you become more like, I guess. And it's the same thing with language, because I notice myself, like, if I'm around people who talk about the Bible more, talk about, say, oh, my Buddha, or whatever, you know, you tend to pick up on, like, that positiveness or that negativeness. So, like, even, like, not even just certain phrase, but if, like, you're around positive people, your language becomes more positive. And, like, you might compliment people more. You might be more uplifting to others. It's the more you're around it, the more you do it.
Bet. So you would say this, so the people you surround yourself with help dictate your language.
Definitely.
Both good and bad.
Definitely.
Right? I love it. I'll give these guys a hand. They didn't know it was coming up. So go ahead tomorrow when you're at school. I encourage you to use words like, oh my Buddha, or any other cool phrases like that. So we realize this, that sometimes it's bad, but not all language is bad. Sometimes language is good. Sometimes it can be uplifting. Right, whenever I see Nick Petro, I comment on his hair because I love his hair. So a lot of times words can both help and words can hurt, but most of them, we want them to help. So Ephesians 4:29 says this. So Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, so let no corrupt talk come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up as it fits the occasion, right? Because he writes this and says, hey, look, guys, we say a lot of stuff, But try your best to let the words that come out of your mouth be uplifting. Because you never know what an uplifting word could do to somebody's day. You never know what they're battling with. So we talked about how culture can affect our language. We talked about how language is bad. And then we realized, hey, language sometimes can be good, but at the same time, it all depends on who we surround ourselves with. Right? And all goes back to not giving in and not conforming. And so sometimes we battle with this and say, man, you know what? I'm this way, but I want to be over here. So how can my language change? How do I go from saying these things to really, man, trying to do what God has called me to do and say the right things and really be an example? And that's something you guys struggle with. That's something I struggled with for a long time because I always felt the need to fit in. But at the same time, I knew that God has called me to do something greater. And so how do we transform? How do we change our language? It's simply this. If you're taking notes, write this down. Transformation of the tongue begins with a change of heart. Transformation of the tongue begins with a change of heart. A lot of times when we say stuff, you're like me, you just say stuff to say stuff. You don't really think about what you say. When we get down to like the sincerity of speech and what truly you want to portray, it comes straight from the heart. So a lot of times what we say comes directly from what we feel and what we believe. Right? And the Bible speaks clearly on this. In Matthew 15, it says this, but what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart. Which means this, whatever your heart wants to say, your mouth's going to say. Whatever you put inside of your life is going to come out, whether good or bad. Because a lot of time the heart reveals character. And that's where language comes in. A lot of times our hearts and our mouths, they battle. Our brains say, hey man, sometimes I got to say this. But our heart dictates our language. So if we ever want to change our language from one thing to the next, a transformation of the tongue begins with a change of heart. James 1:19 says this, be slow to speak. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we talk about changing, how we change from one thing to the next, is this. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is past, and behold, the new has come. So we get to this, as we look at as culture sometimes dictates what we say. This language is good and bad about, you know, we talk this, we say this, and sometimes people help us or hurt us and say, man, I want to change. We say, well, it's got to have a change of heart. And so it's just this, is that if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. So it means this, is that God has set us apart from everybody else. So for us to speak with the right words, with the right things, it has to come from the heart. And the only way it can come from the heart is through Christ. Because Christ changes the words that we say. He changes our hearts, and our hearts change our words. Because it all boils down to this, because what we say says who we really are. Think about all the words you came in saying before today, before you got here, from when you woke up, when your alarm clock went off, and you're like, man, I don't want to get up today, to right now before we started talking. Would those words really describe how you are? Would you say, yeah, you know what, the words I said today, they pretty much describe who I am. Or would you say, nah, man, that's not exactly who I know I'm supposed to be. Sometimes I say things just to fit in. Sometimes I say things just to be cool. But a lot of times, it reveals our character because we struggle with this. We have to know this, is that our heart speaks the words before we do. And so before we even speak, someone gave me this acrostic while I was y'all's age. We have to think first. Right, if you're taking notes, write this down. Before we speak, we have to think. First letter is T. Is it true? Is what we say, is it true? Second one is H. Is it honest? Third one is I. Is it inspiring? How can it help somebody else? Next one is N. Is it necessary? Do I really need to say this? Or am I just saying to get a laugh? Last one is K. And is it kind? And I know sometimes I try to go through all these things before I say stuff, but sometimes I don't. But really think about the things that we say on a daily basis. Because our words that we say may be the only thing people ever hear from us, both good and bad. And And the words that we say that come out of our mouth, we can never take back. The words we say can never take back. Anything I've ever said since I was a baby all the way till the age of 24, I can never hit the rewind button and go back. One of the weirdest things that could ever happen to you, or craziest things, says, hey, well, you know what? Well, how do you say this, that God is this guy and he's transformed your life, but yet 3 weeks ago I heard you say this? How does that happen? How does that happen? So realize this, is that when we want to transform what we say, it comes first and foremost from a change of heart. We talked about culture affecting how language is both good and how language is both bad. But last and most importantly, is that our words should bring glory to God. First and foremost, the reason why we sing worship songs, the reason why we do this is because God desires that from us. Not only does it get our hearts right for what God has for us, man, it's what God wants. He wants us to sing praise to him because who he is. Psalm 145 says, this, God is worthy of our praise. It says, I will exalt you, my God and my King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. And greatness is unsearchable. Jump down to verse 21, says this, my mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Guys, if you don't get anything else out of what we talked about today, get this. Is that what you say says who we are. And the things that need to come out of our mouth need to be glorifying and praiseful to the Lord. That's first and foremost. If you don't get anything else out of today, get that. That's your take home. That's your take home, big bold letters. What we say says who we are. But most importantly, what we say says whose we are. Meaning what we say says, hey, you know what? I belong to this person. Because God has set us apart from everybody else. God calls us to be salt and light. Light and darkness. A representation of who he is. We were created in God's image. And how can we go out into our schools and our lives and say, man, God is this, God is this, God is this. But the way we talk isn't a representation of who Jesus is. Because what we say says who we are. And lastly, as Brad comes up, there's one psalm that I love. Every now and then, I'll read it in the morning when I get up and I really don't want to do anything. And I just want to be a scrub and just lay there. But it's Psalm 96. And I'm going to read it. And it says this. Psalm 96 says this. It says, oh, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord and bless his name. Tell of his salvation from day to day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous works among all the peoples. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods, for all gods of his people are worthless idols. But the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of people. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. And so here's what it all boils down to. It's that God is worthy of our praise. And whatever we say has to honor God. So just like we talked about earlier, even though words continue to change from day in to day out, and even though we're surrounded by bad people, sometimes we're surrounded by good people, and a lot of times words can sting, and sometimes they help us, but the most important thing is this, is to always remember, before you even say anything, say, you know what? Are these words going to be an example of who I am? But most importantly, they're going to be honoring to God, because what we say says who we are.